Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where educators go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top leaders across the globe. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Danny Sunshine Bauer.
This is episode number 100, part 2, with Danny Sunshine Bauer in the Mastermind. Well, hi there. My name is Danny Sunshine Bauer. I'm a former classroom teacher and school administrator turned life and leadership coach. I'm also the host of this podcast where each week I share my conversation with top leaders across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show, I am joined by my Tuesday night mastermind, and we explore a number of interesting topics. A mastermind, I'm sure you've heard of it, but if you haven't on the podcast or haven't read about it on the blog, really, it's a hybrid group coaching and leadership development community. It's broken up. We meet every single week for an hour. There's a check-in time. We discuss parts of a book that we're reading. In July and August this year, we're reading Ego is the Enemy, a very important book. And then after the book discussion, somebody hops on the hot seat. Today, it's Robert, and he explores how to effectively utilize your time during the summer when the kiddos are gone and a lot of the staff is gone as well. So we dig into that topic. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. But before we jump into the episode, let's take some time to thank our show's sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by CSC Consulting Group, whose venture is a social enterprise, and their vision is to catalyze sustainable change in our society, one organization at a time. Learn more at www.cscconsultinggroup.com. Better leaders, the mastermind's been closed for a few months, but now that I'm pursuing this full-time, I have more capacity to serve you and help you accelerate your leadership growth. What is a mastermind? I describe it like a party, where I invite great people to the party and believe great things will happen as a result of having authentic conversations around leadership. We meet weekly, engage in rich book discussions, and everyone gets an opportunity to solve their most challenging problem via the hot seat. These meetings occur virtually, and it's incredible. We have members from literally across the globe. You can learn more and reserve your spot today at betterleadersbetterschools.com/MM. I just hit record, guys, so thank you. I know you saw the email, and I appreciate everybody being real generous with their time and allowing us to pull the curtain back. You know, I was talking to somebody, I forget who, unfortunately, but they were saying how one of the podcasts we did a long, long time ago with the Mastermind was one of the most valuable podcasts that they ever listened to. Since episode 100 is going to be, you know, kind of special to me. It's coming out 4th of July, so America's birthday. My birthday is on the 6th of July, and it's going to be 100 episodes. I want to reintroduce myself with episode 100 and then release three masterminds so people can check out, you know, how we connect and all the great stuff that we talk about. So thank you. But I know, Kyle, you were checking in. April, you were checking in. Kathy, Joe, you went on an interview today. Why don't you clue us in on how that went?
Well, it went really well. It was brand new to me as far as a 10-minute. We had to talk about your entry plan for 10 minutes. And the advice that I was given was stay to the 10 minutes. And they didn't give you any other parameters other than that. And then it was a 30-minute interview, so you had to, within that 20-minute time frame, you tried to get through as many questions as you could, which I did not know that at the time. So one of the interviewers was nice enough to say, we've made it through this many questions, and we have this many left. We have this much time left. And then it really started taking on a more paced tone instead of just a conversation. They were welcoming. It was, and for me, it was fun because I reached one of my goals to get an interview, to experience it and hone my interviewing skills. Don't know if I'm what they're looking for, but I know I made it to the top 5 on paper.
Nice.
Now it's that presence and saying, this is the right person for your school. That's what I don't know I sold myself as, you know, am I that right fit?
Gotcha. Did they talk about how they're going to whittle it down from 5 to, is it going to go top 3, or how are they proceeding?
There'll be a second visit next week, and it'll be the top 2, I think they said. talked to, but they said they'll contact next week.
Okay. Sounds good. Well done. I'm glad you went through it with it and already achieved a goal, you know, in terms of even just applying and getting the interview.
Yes, getting myself out there, because it was scary. You know, I haven't been out of my district in a long time, and it was a scary thing for me. But I did it, and I'm very proud of myself.
Awesome. Chris in California, how are you?
Well, hey, buddy, I'm doing pretty good, man. Had our graduation Sunday, so I'm enjoying my second day of summer with the family and stuff. So a little frazzled. I spent most of the day working on a doctoral assignment, but it's all right, man. It's good to see all you guys right now.
You got any travel plans, or is it just going to be grinding the schoolwork?
No, I'm going to try to fit in a little bit of fun in between some of the school days. We're going to try to get out to the Colorado River in a couple weeks. We go down to Lake Mojave. It's right by Laughlin, which is not too far from Vegas. And then I'm going to get back. I'm going to use my daughter's graduation as an excuse to take the family back to Manhattan. We've never been, so we're going to fly back there for a couple days and hang out.
Nice.
You'll be right by us.
Cool, man.
You have to come visit.
We'll have to link up, yep.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that we can connect, too, you know, at the end of August when I'm out there for that podcaster conference.
You're going to be in New York for a podcaster conference?
No. We're connecting in, for the conference. I'm talking to Chris. That one's in Anaheim at the end of August.
Yeah, sounds good, man. I look forward to it.
Cool. David, how are you? Thanks for having the lights on.
Wait, this is recorded right now?
Yeah, man, I'm going to throw a little shade on our recording and have a little fun with it.
Thanks for having the lights on today, man.
Yeah.
What are you doing in the dark?
People love you. They loved your episode. Good.
I got a funny story.
Good.
So I'm going to type this in the chat box so I can describe it better. So, you know, we're putting up our marquee because tomorrow's the last day of school. And I just had graduation. I went to the high school graduation tonight. I'm at a middle school. So I told my custodian, I said, 11:30 dismissal. Make sure you put that on the marquee so, you know, parents know. Oh, so here's what went on the marquee.
Can't wait.
So he spelled dismissal wrong.
Oh, at least he got the time right, though.
Yeah. So he spelled dismissal wrong. So then a Facebook page went up, like, post went up, like, real quick afterwards and said, local schools educating tomorrow's youth one misspelling at a time. And I can't. What can you do but laugh? You know, so it's like early in the morning, it's like 8 o'clock. I got my kids, my wife's not there. I throw them in the car. I'm like, come on, we're going down to school right now. We went down and we changed the sign, but he felt bad about it.
Hey.
But yeah, I should have, you know, I was like, just do spell check next time, man. No big deal.
That's cool. Well, you're getting the desk. Robert, what's going on?
Not much. We're still actually in school till next week, so got award ceremonies coming up, so a lot of shaking hands, giving out awards, that kind of stuff. We're doing a moving up ceremony for third grade for the first time, so that'll be exciting and fun. So, yeah, just lots of good stuff, and then trying to unpack those boxes that I haven't unpacked since January.
Right. Yeah, I'm packing mine up. They were barely unpacked. What are you going to do? Clayton, my friend, how are you?
Yeah, g'day all. Sorry, I was a little late. Yeah, David, one of my most embarrassing mistakes when I was actually teaching, back when I was teaching on class, I made a comment and misspelled a word on a report, on a formal report that went home. And to make matters worse, I was actually saying he needs to improve his spelling. And it was that exact sentence, I made the spelling mistake. So I kind of get it.
I'll say this, you know, I had an interesting experience, you know, last year. And one thing that I was critiqued on, which is funny, I'm an English major, right, was having to read over emails before sending them out. And I am all for being correct in spelling, in grammar, all of that. You should really try, which I do. However, I'm also prioritize speed of implementation. And sometimes there's going to be some bumps in the road. And when it's like one mistake, right, no big deal. Like to me, it shouldn't be something that's critiqued or even formally written up, believe it or not. And then to sit in a formal administrative meeting where the person critiquing me has slide after slide of misspellings, I just drank that in and really enjoyed it. Never said anything until this podcast that's being released on July 4th, but it was pretty freaking funny to me to have that type of feedback you know, it's like, well, be careful what you say, you know. It's kind of like a boomerang, something like that.
Was there music with the podcast? Or, sorry, was there music with the soundtrack?
I wish there was, David. That would have been awesome. I wish there was. Colin, how are you, buddy?
The worst of, I think the worst of phones. Oh, sorry, Dan. I was just going to say, I think the worst of phones. I think I spend more time correcting autocorrect than it corrects me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100% right.
Yeah, everything's going really well. We finally settled our contract. Hooray. Yeah. So I think they're going to ratify on Friday. I really hope so, because this has been going on for a year. So I'm really happy that I think this is over. We did our final faculty meeting of the year, and I used Kyle's format, which was amazing as a reflective tool. And she had this incredible do now where you had to write about your experience. It was interesting too to give adults a do now. Boy, they don't like it.
No, they don't like it.
People were like, "What is this?" They like, I was handing them like, you know, something unpleasant from the school dog. But people wrote great things. And at the end, I had another teacher help me, and we pulled out the cards from this, like, we were in the science lab, so we pulled out the cards from this half broken globe. And I had people stand up and read what they wrote. You'd randomly find someone's name. We'd have somebody stand up and read what they wrote about sort of a memorable experience or a great accomplishment they had had this year. And then I had everybody stand up and give them a standing ovation because it was the last meeting of the year. And it was great. It was fun. It reminded me back of my days when I was teaching sixth grade, and the first person didn't want to say anything. And I always remembered this trick. It's that, okay, we're going to keep on going. And if this is a good thing, I want to get in on it afterwards. So I said, well, you know, I also wanted to pass this on to the faculty. I said, well, you know, we want to model this in terms of instruction. So in the classroom, I'm going to say, would you be willing to read it now? And she did, which was nice. And I know she doesn't love to be in front of a lot of people. So it was a really, and then I had 5 minutes left, and I had gone to, this is the final part of the thing I'm going to say, is that I had been at the New Jersey Middle School Conference back in, I don't know, January, something like that. And there's this guy who I'm a really big fan of. He's the principal of a really amazing middle school here in New Jersey. And they keep on winning the best middle school award. I want to win it one day, but we're not going to win it yet. But they said that this guy won, I guess, for best middle school principal of the year. And they said one of the teachers was presenting the award, and they said, every day he tells us that we are the most amazing faculty. And I always think about, ever since I heard that, I've been trying to really articulate that to our faculty as much as possible, because I think that matters a lot with the amount of hard work. So I gave a little like 5-minute impromptu extemporaneous speech thanking them for everything they had done over the year and how much of a difference they'd made and what a personal difference they've made for me. So it felt very good for me to say those things. I hope they liked it too.
Absolutely. You know, that those words of affirmation, that's, we go back to five love languages. I thrive on that stuff, and physical touch too, which can get a little shaky in school. So let's stick with the words of affirmation. But I'm a big encourager, you know, and I think that's because top love language for me. But I think people need to hear about what you appreciate. You know, they hear enough from students and parents.
I got to say one more thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And last week, we got the most amazing video educating us all about Sydney, Australia from some kids at the Dalmany Public School. It was awesome.
Did you guys share that in the Facebook page? Because we saw the New Jersey one, right?
There's an Australia one now.
Oh, please put that in there. Hey, Sarah, check in with us real quick, and then we're going to move over to the questions.
Hi, sorry. I just got home from school. I've been run. I've been gone since 6 this morning, but I had to run and get my son a haircut because he graduates from kindergarten in 2 days. So that was, wow. I know. And I'm still in school as well. School is not done for me. My last day is not until next Saturday or Monday. And we're just wrapping things up. And other than that, it's nothing new, getting ready for summer. We just put a bid on a house. So hopefully we will hear about that pretty soon. We have our inspection. And yeah, other than that, not a whole lot going on here.
All right. Thanks for checking in. Glad you're here. First question I want to ask the group in terms of deep work, I had to do with concentration. So curious, how do you change your ability to concentrate intensely? And do you have any practices that work solely on your intellect? And I'll put that in the chat box too. But basically, how you change your ability to concentrate intensely for longer extended periods of time. And do you currently have any practices that work solely on your intellect?
I guess, you know, what I'm working towards is just kind of, you know, getting rid of the email. I've been doing much better with that, you know, since we started reading this book, and letting the secretaries know that, you know, no disturbances, you know, unless, you know, it's an emergency, and making sure that we are taking that time. So I've been doing better. I've been working on about a half hour a day. So that's been going pretty well. As for the working on the intellect, I think I've been trying to multitask less, which I think actually is helping me do things in a more cognitive efficient manner, I would say.
Nice. For me, this particular section of the book, I really took it to heart because it was on page 159, don't take breaks from distraction, instead take breaks from focus. That's what I've really been cognizant of, especially prepping for trying to juggle summer school for the first time in this school year, and then also the interview prep. So that really was hard, but then with Miracle Morning and everything else and this book, it really helped me prioritize when to take a break and focus. And sure enough, it's exactly what they say. You take a break, you let it go, you come back and you just seem to intake more. You're able to work. I'm able to work better. And again, it's short periods of time, like what he said, not I give myself so much time and then I just walk away from it. And that really has helped.
What do those chunks of time look like right now?
It started out at about 30 minutes, especially in the beginning. I've got my chunks of time that I consider intellect for about an hour. And then I give myself a break.
Yeah.
And then I get back to it.
Big in the mastermind that I participate in with Aaron Walker, View from the Top. That meets on Tuesdays too. What I've found with those guys, it seems like most people do between 60 minutes, no more than 90. Seems to be the average to get. You need enough time, right, to really get into it and then start going deep with the work. But anything over 90, you know, we start losing focus, which is not so bad since they say that our attention span's shorter than a goldfish. That's like 8 seconds or something like that. So if you could go 60 minutes or 90, you guys are like top of the gene pool, guys.
I sound like the person that just like went to the gym for the first time, but I did it today. I really could, after, you know, this book could not have come at a more important time. There's a thousand deadlines and like, you're looking at this and you're like, how do you do it? And then like, he's got like, Cal Newport must be such an interesting person to meet.
Right. Yeah.
But like, he talked about like all these things that he has going on and like all of his like ways of dealing with this. But it's great though, because it kind of like, so I had something to do today that was really required a tremendous, I had to revise our school strategic plan, which we have not unveiled to, I've been working on it with one particular person, but we need to bring it to the board on the next Thursday, and it really has to kind of get more clear, and it requires you to really think and vision. And I was thinking about all the things in deep work, and I did it. And what was really fascinating about it is that it went a little faster than I thought it was going to. And I had a little more time for some of those other task pieces that he talks about. So I was really excited that it can do this, and it's giving me the momentum to get through all the other things that I have. I have a million things I have to get done still, but I'm confident now that this is going to happen, especially because I really am believing in this. It makes so much sense. So I'm really excited about where this will take me.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you know, combining everything we talk about in here. So there's the deep work portion. We've read great books, Procrastinate on Purpose, Miracle Morning, and then 12-Week Year. All that stuff, like if you implement, if you execute on it, it's going to change your life and what you produce, you know, as a professional, as a leader within a school. Going back to 12-Week Year and that 3-month goal tracker and that goal crushing course I'm coaching people on right now, that mastermind I participate in, there's a guy named Derek. He has his own small marketing firm. He can link his last 2 12-week years, so the last 6 months of work that they've been tracking, some very important business goals, to $400,000 of extra revenue. And it's going to do something like $2 million over the year. So that's for them, right? For us, what does it look like? And for me personally, I have a goal of writing a book called The Soul of a School Leader. That's the working title right now. And I'm taking Seth Godin's Stop Stealing Dreams. I don't know if any of you read that by any chance, PDF. He did that for free, and it's just kind of, he's answering this question, what is school for, right? And then he invites the reader to critique or rewrite the topics or write their own. So I'm doing the last one. I decided to come up with a 100 topic list, and my goal is to write one page per topic. That'll be a book. And I'm going to give it away for free. I'm going to give it to you guys, give it to people that subscribe to the email and all that kind of stuff, and just try to spread the ideas and have fun with it. But going back to what you're saying with deep work, my goal is to just write on 2 topics a day, and I'm tracking it through my 3-month tracker. And Kathy Joel, you're really familiar with that. And if I do that, it'll be done in 8 weeks, and I'm so excited. So that's not $400,000. That's not the best middle school, you know, in New Jersey type goal. But for me, that's something really interesting. And I think this content that we're reading right now is like so, you know, so important. Anybody else want to share at all in terms of strategies, in terms of getting deep with their work, or we can move on to the next question?
I don't know that it's a strategy, but I generally arrive early to work before my go time, which is 7:15 on duty for greeting the kids in the morning. But I generally get to school early, and I would leave my door open and whatnot, but I found that I don't get very much time during the day that I can not just really just think about things on my own. And that helps me really focus for the day. And it also helps me get some of the things done that I need to get done and think about before I'm thinking about 5 million other things. And so I know, like, part of my miracle morning, I go through and I look at my schedule for the day, so I know what I'm expecting beforehand. So when I get to work, I'm actually able to think about the things that I really want to intellectually think about and really want to consider before I start my day. And honestly, like I said, I don't know if this is a good strategy. I don't know if this is a strategy at all, but I literally put like a cover up over my blinds, and it's not that long. It's like 30 minutes, but it's 30 minutes of time to just really work on the things you need to work on before everything starts.
Yeah. Protecting any time to get after it, I think, is really important. So switch gears on another question, two-parter. Does anybody here take like internet Sabbaths where they just refrain from internet or technology use? Or does anybody schedule internet use at home or at work?
We do the internet blackout at home, but that's sort of more for personal reasons than professional. And I don't know if that's sort of the crux of your question, Dan.
Yeah, we talk about that stuff too. Why do you do that?
Look, there's 2 reasons. Number one is to set a good example for the kids. You know, we're chasing them off their devices at all hours of the night, and we're sitting there on our phones. It's not a great look. But the other thing too that Nikki and I were finding was we were spending too much time connecting with other people just through Facebook, social media, all of the, everything that you do, email, Twitter, you name it. And we just said, okay, all right, let's knock over anything we need to do for work, and then we'll turn the devices off at whatever time of night it was, and we'll just have time for each other where we can actually just talk, and even if we're just watching telly together or having a cup of tea or coffee or something. And we've needed to do that because you don't even realize how much time goes past as you're sitting there checking emails, even just flipping through Facebook and things like that. So not a professional time, but a personal time, but really important.
Yeah, I don't know that Cal Newport will ever listen to this podcast, but I imagine him literally, you know, sitting on my shoulder, because every time I'm in the grocery store, he talked about how we just get on our phones, right? Even for like just those 10 seconds. Every time it comes out, like, I'm just like, Cal's telling me, don't do it, Danny. And I try to put it away. Most of the times I say 8 out of 10, I do. That's good stuff. Hey, and the other thing I'm doing personally that might benefit you and your families, like when we go out on dates, Miriam and I've been leaving my phone in the car. And that's because, you know, I'll get distracted. I do. And I'll take it out, and then I'm not fully present, engaged in conversations. So I've been leaving that stupid thing in the car. So
has anybody seen Simon Sinek? It's a video. I think it's just for YouTube, but has anybody seen him talk about the social media and the addiction of social media to teenage kids? And he talks about all of that, Danny, and he talks about the need to leave the phones behind and to connect with people again. I'll try and find the link, and I'll email it, Danny, and you might be able to share it if people want to have a look at it. But really, really interesting.
Yeah, share that. We'll send it out.
So I'm thinking today is day one of the Cal Newport wants this, like, he challenges you to do 30 days no social media. So today was day one. And it was a little weird because at one point I was tempted, but I didn't. So I'm putting in my Miracle Morning Journal. So I'll see how that goes. But I wanted to try it and see what I thought, you know, because Cal Newport's kind of not a big social media fan, but I was curious about it. But I also thought, so I was talking to my husband about the fact he's at right now, the planning meeting of all the reform rabbis in North America or something like that. And so the guy who's the president is the rabbi of this huge synagogue in Dallas. And he has a big thing that whenever a meeting occurs, he makes everyone put their phones in a basket because he wants everyone present and aware and doing and focusing at the meeting. Now, when I was at the faculty meeting today, I noticed I was doing better because I had fewer people on their phones, but I did see people on their phones. And I thought, man, I get 1 hour. And we don't let the kids go on their phone in the class, but it's okay for, you know. And I really thought, like, about this guy, David Stern, and I really thought, you know, maybe next year I really need to ask people to try this and to say that, you know, why, you know, that we can live up to this, you know, if there's, you know, and just, I don't know. I think I'll get a lot of pushback, but I really, really wanted, and maybe it'll just be sort of an option that I'll put out there and see what people do, but I really want to do that. And I am going to try the internet Sabbath myself. I would really like to. I think I'm about to take on a little more personally in my sort of personal volunteer life, because I'm going to become the synagogue president on Friday. And nice. So, it's going to take up a lot of time. So I want to actually have this internet Sabbath so I can like actually kind of bucket my time a little bit more effectively if I'm doing this. And so I think that's going to be really important. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to try it.
But as far as social media, I'm getting used to Mastermind and what I need to do for that for media. But also I'm part of Slack, so I'm getting used to doing that. And so I knew I had to give up something, so I went ahead and just, I'm not on Facebook. I put the app on the end of my phone. My Twitter, my Instagram, all of that social media is pretty much to the side. I have not really done anything except for school on Twitter and then my Slack stuff and Mastermind. But I did it intentionally. And then for work, I look at my emails and I communicated this to pretty much everybody just in passing conversation, emails 3 times a day. And once at night when I'm home, and then I'm off of it. And I tell people that if it's an emergency, they need to pick up the phone and call me, and I'll answer the phone before I go to the email. So those are the boundaries I put on myself. And I've been doing that for the email part for a while, but the social media for about 2 weeks, ever since I started Slack. 2 weeks doing this?
Yeah. I mean, Gold Crushers, 2 weeks. You know, someone that personally challenged, I can't do this. Like, I keep telling myself, well, you're trying to build a platform and serve as many school leaders as possible. You have to be on social media. And I don't know if that's a lie or not. So feel free to challenge me, guys, on it. I have resisted, like, I want to post on Pinterest, even though, like, I'm not there a lot, you know. But just, like, maybe somebody will click and listen to a podcast and we'll get connected. But I'm just like, forget about it, you know. But there's this guy, Noah Kagan, he has SumoMe, and he helps people build email lists. He helps people share blog content through some free tools that are really pretty cool. And he has a podcast that I like to listen to as well. He said something that challenged the heck out of me. Haven't done it. That's how bad of a challenge it is. But he said, like, pick your one social media app that you really love. So might be Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, whatever, and just have that app. Delete all the rest and just use that one. And I'm like, wow, you know, because I'm trying to post Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, you know. So that's really tough for me. I don't know what y'all think about that. And April, were you going to say something a second ago?
Yes. So just to follow up with Colin and asking teachers to put their cell phone away, at the start of each meeting, we have established norms that we visit. And part of that norm that we've set is for teachers to put their cell phones away. And you'll be surprised how often teachers like pull out their cell phone and like try to sneak it, like, as you know, our students would do in the classrooms. So as much as I would advise like have an established set of norms, it has to be like a collaborative process in terms of having all the teachers kind of come together and say, like, how can we focus when we're at a workshop that could really lend itself to benefiting us as a school community? So that would just be my word of advice. So norms, but it has to be collaborative.
Yeah, that's great. Start the discussion there and identify those collective commitments. But it is kind of ironic, right? Because they're going to have the shoe things over the door and all the kids have to put it in, or they have some type of plastic container. All the kids put their cell phones on. And we even as school leaders too. I mean, we're talking about the teachers. How about you when you go to the central office meeting, right? So it's a struggle. So
I was just about to say that. I don't know. I feel like it's a collective, kind of like April had mentioned. But I think that as campus leaders, we also have to be mindful of the way in which we're presenting, and that we're not, like, I think that there's definitely a balance, but I think that being in a lot of presentations where I've struggled to keep my mind on the presentation, that it's made me more mindful of the presentations and the way in which I go about working on things as well and presenting to large groups. Because I think that we also tend to do everything we don't want to happen into a classroom sometimes when we do some of those meetings.
Well, going to that, you know, think about you as a presenter. So I don't want to spend too much time here, but, you know, knowing your audience, knowing their needs, and doing things that we hate, like just reading a freaking PowerPoint to people, like, don't, just send it to me. It's stupid, but we, you know, people do that. And I think that's really poor presenting. And then you wonder why folks also are on the phone. Like, what if we presented in such a compelling way that people don't want to be on their phones because they're engaged, they're challenged, you know, you're pushing them.
Worst presentation ever. I was at a school, my first year as a teacher. They gave us all personnel manuals in black binders, not even a PowerPoint, because that's how low tech it was. And they read to us from it. They read to us from it for three hours. Our break was CPR training. Just
today's podcast is brought to you by CSC Consulting Group, whose current portfolio includes individual schools, nonprofit organizations, small and large districts, and urban school systems. Their home city is in Chicago, but their work can be done anywhere in the nation, and they're actively looking for clients around the world. Find out more at www.cscconsultinggroup.com. Let's take a breath and move over to Robert. You're on the hot seat today, buddy. How can we serve you?
No pressure.
No pressure? No.
I got your email. It's like, oh yeah, I'm just recording this. No big deal. You know. I don't know. I'm going to do maybe a mini hot seat with a couple of things, you know, depending on the time.
Awesome.
I guess the first area I want to talk about is, obviously, I started this position in January, and I've got my final faculty meeting coming up next week, and then looking forward to next school year, you know. So I guess I just want to kind of talk about, that's why I asked who has school in the summer, about how people manage their time effectively over the summer to accomplish everything, because, you know, I'm working 6 hours a day. Obviously, I have vacation days in that, but what are some ways you guys stay organized in the summer? And, you know, what should be the key priorities I'm focusing on?
Well, one thing that I would recommend, one thing that I love to do, I like to think of my summer and sort of blocking it out in times. This will be your first summer as a principal, right?
Yes.
Okay. So it might not be as familiar to you. Like, I know the rhythm of what has to happen to me during the summer. There are certain things I do. Like, I know exactly what I'm going to do first. And then there's some miscellaneous things that happen in the middle. And then I know what I have to do at the end. So I kind of create a summer plan, and that, like, kind of like 12-week year, because you have to build in that discipline. But one thing that I think is really important that you do, no matter what, is you take your year-round employees, whoever they are, and you schedule this as soon as possible, is you do a year in review. And you start to really go through the entire year. And you have these different, this is what I'm going to do this year. I'm going to have everybody kind of present a little bit about that, talk about their experiences, and kind of get people talking about it. And then towards the end of the summer, you do a planning for the coming year with that same team of those people. Because it's really important to look to take that time to look backwards and forwards.
They don't come in the summer at all, though. Like, their last day is Tuesday, and they don't come back till August 24th.
Do you have nobody in the building but you?
Me and two secretaries.
That's who you do it with, then. Because yeah. They're going to give you feedback on the year.
In the main office, you know. Sorry, Colin. Go ahead.
I was going to say, they're helpful, too.
And they really have a pulse of the building, you know. Folks that serve parents, the teachers, you, administrative team, everybody, they really have a great sense of what's going on. And in my experience, they have some really profound insights on what we need to think about, right, as a school. So, and also when you do what Colin says and include people in important sort of vision casting and setting the direction of the school, they also, I believe, buy in even more, right? A lot of times, folks in the main office, custodians, those sort of things, you know, they're completely looked over. Robert, you sent me that really nice email when I talked about spending time and life skills, right? Doing things like that, sitting down with custodians and knowing when their breaks are, breaking bread and having coffee with them, you know, and just shooting the breeze. That kind of stuff, that relationship you build with a community, you'll be able to really transform the whole building. And then obviously, you know, working with your staff too.
Did you happen to get any feedback from your faculty here toward the end, like any type of survey, perception survey or anything like that, or even your staff or parents or students?
You know, I did, I'm doing my, we call them 82 meetings. It's just your year-end review meetings. And I've been asking people, you know, do you have any feedback, whether positive or constructive feedback? And, you know, obviously that, I don't know that I have the rapport for them to be like, well, I hate that you did this. You know, a lot of them are like, oh, I've been happy. I've been, you know, everything's been good. And, you know, everyone's kind of been pretty, pretty positive about it, I think. And that was good for sure. I didn't do a survey. I thought that was going to be kind of rushed if I tried to get that out. I'm planning to do, I don't know if this came from here. It might have. Did the on your plate thing come from one of you guys about like write down everything that's on your plate? That came from one of you guys, I think, possibly. So they write down everything that like is on their plate as a teacher or whatever their position is. And then we talk about like, well, what two things would you want removed from your plate to try and get a gist of like, what do they see as the time sucks, the stuff that is preventing them from meeting the needs of kids. And, you know, getting a sense of looking at moving forward, like what do people value and what do some people feel like is unnecessary? And, you know, then tying that into maybe something that similar to what Kyle did and Colin did with, you know, assessing our strengths and needs in particular areas. So I'm going to try and tie like the end of the year to the beginning of the year. But I didn't like get any actual direct, you know, survey data.
I'm just thinking when you're blocking your time and planning your time in your work, that some of that could be to develop develop items for your faculty in that area. Because if you get, because you're not going to have students, right? It's just your work time, right? So just a thought.
Can I throw out a kind of crazy thought?
Of course.
I mean, absolutely. I don't know. This might be, I don't know. So over the summer when I'm like thinking on things or working on things, sometimes I'll like set a time and invite people, like not required. And I always put like, this is 100% optional. You don't have to come, but you can come. And I find that people generally do show up to these things. And sometimes it's interesting people. It's not always your typical like campus leaders that you have noticed throughout the year. Sometimes it's people that really wanted to get involved, had a moment and wanted to share. But if you were to do kind of that year of reflection, and you had mentioned that there's not a ton of people on staff over the summer, just giving them, because sometimes people will take the opportunity to have their voice heard. I do. Like anytime central office offers that I am actually available, I try to be involved when it's an area of interest to me. And not all areas are areas of interest. HR is never an area of interest for me, but our evaluation systems, our observations, all those type of things, super interesting to me. So I try to be there. And I think teachers are the same way. I sent out a summer bulletin on Friday, and I sent it out through S'more so I can actually track how many people have actually opened it and who has opened it. I see what emails actually opened it. It's the first Friday in summer that I sent it out. It's already had over 100 views. And so people are actually even opening their email on their summer break. So I think people might surprise you and be willing, but I don't know if that's something different in Texas. It's a little different, I know, than some of the other states. So
here's another crazy idea. And because you're at a smaller school, and this is something I'm dying to do, but I don't know what's going to happen for me or not. But could you do some home visits of your, you have, since you're a really a primary building, could you do some home visits of your incoming students? Maybe even trying to get some teachers to come with you, like the Jethro Jones thing where he did that, is like, see whether you want some teachers to do it. But like, just think about that. Oh, and here's another thing I'm doing. You should do this. So I'm going to try this year. I have no idea if it's going to work or not, but I've got all these teachers recording videos of themselves reading stories. We're going to run a YouTube video every week, but I'm going to do one in June, one in July, and one in August, like a live thing. I don't know who's going to come. I'm going to read them a story. I'm going to give them some animal crackers. Maybe I'll do a craft. We'll send them on their way. I am not a primary school teacher, but I am going to figure out how to do this. But it'll be great because I want to develop relationships with the families and the kids and help transition them in. But that's something you do because that's kind of your school.
Yeah, I am opening the library over the summer. It seems like a waste to have a elementary library. Our district is composed of 5 towns and only 1 town has a library, and a lot of our parents don't have transportation. So we're going to open the library up and hopefully we'll be able to get some folks to come down, exchange some books. And we're going to think about doing a Wednesday read aloud activity. And I've actually had 2 teachers come to me and ask, like, can we do this? So that's pretty exciting. I like Kyle's idea of maybe like sending out like a fancy invitation, almost like a coffee house kind of vibe thing or something, like Year of Reflection, or, you know, I don't know. I guess I'd have to kind of brainstorm exactly, you know, what that would look like. But I like that idea as well, just to see who would show up. What's that program called, Kyle? It sounds like you said S'mores.
S'more, S-M-O-R-E, right?
More for, yeah, S-M-O-R-E.com for newsletters. You can actually track the analytics and see who opened it. Love that feature. And you can actually see how many times they opened it and if they clicked and interacted with it. Isn't that lovely? You mentioned coffee house. So can I say one more thing? I'm so sorry. I don't want to dominate this. But you had mentioned kind of like what I had done with my staff. Were you on here when I was talking about the coffee EDU thing?
No.
So I was on Twitter and saw that another principal did this coffee EDU thing for her. But she made it for her staff and she posted all of the things that she made for it on her blog, which I completely took and reworked in my own way to make it more relevant to my campus. So Coffee EDU is like a thing that you would do to meet up with teachers in your general area, not necessarily from your school. This principal took it and did it at a school level. And my plan is to do it on August 2nd and August 15th. August 2nd is our first day back. So we're going to do it. I'm going to provide snacks and coffee. And we're going to have our first session from 8 to 9, which is normally we start at 9 o'clock, but this is optional to come early and involving Coffee EDU and just kind of get talking about teaching and just reignite kind of after the summer ends and we're all back together for the first time. We're going to do it again on August 15th. We start school officially on August 16th. So August 15th is a campus day and it's just a campus work day. Get everything finished for your classrooms. And we'll have it probably scheduled not quite as early as 8, probably around 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. And it's just for an hour. I can share those resources, but it's kind of exciting. And I took all like the table starter cards and they had more than I did, the principal that did this. And I took it and condensed it and made each of the cards into a theme, kind of like growth mindset and creativity and teaching and learning in general, and all these different themed cards. And you can actually assign digital credit badges to people. She kind of explained how she did that. And so I can share the blog that I got it from, as well as the stuff that I've kind of edited, which is very similar to the blog I got it from. But I don't know, you said coffee, so I'm throwing it out there at you. Coffee EDU. And it's a thing, like if you look at hashtag Coffee EDU on Twitter, if you're not on a social media band, it's actually a thing.
That's cool. Yeah, share it for sure, because we'll send it out to the email too, Weekend Resource. That'd be good. I put MailChimp in there, Robert, so that's another thing. S'more, I think, helps you build brochures and sort of like posters and things like that. Do they do newsletters, Kyle?
Like, does Coffee EDU do newsletters?
No, S'more.
S'more is all about news. Like, it is your own newsletters. Okay. I've actually learned even a little bit more about S'more, that you can do RSVPs. So you can send some for free, but you can only send like 3 for free. I'm not sure if you can like keep remaking the same 3, but yeah. I wanted to store all of mine and have them. And so I paid, but it's for educators, it's like $57 a year. I honestly paid it out of my own pocket because I really like the features that I have from it. And I like being able to kind of track how, and it also tells me like how good of a newsletter I put out, to be honest. Like, because if you have more interactions with a newsletter, it was more interesting to the people you were sending it to, right? People opened it more. People looked at it more. They clicked more. They interacted more. And so it kind of gives you an idea of the way people are engaging with what you're putting out there.
Exactly.
Which is good feedback.
Yeah, that was the point I wanted to get across for sure. So thanks for making that. So S'more, definitely, I remember that. We use that in Chicago Public Schools, and it is paid for, well worth it. And a lot of like events, that kind of stuff, made brochures and invitations that way. Also use MailChimp. That's free up until a point, but you're in a small district, so you're not going to break their subscriber number to actually have to pay. That will also allow you to send out to groups, so you don't have to, you know, type in individual emails, and you can track open rates, and you can track on links that get clicked. A word of caution, that kind of information isn't used, so you can go to David and be like, why didn't you open last week's newsletter? It was really important, and you didn't read it, and you're a professional, I expect you to read it. Like, that's not how you should use it, but like Kyle mentioned, it tells you, are you writing, you know, catchy titles? Is the content engaging? Are you providing useful information? And if people aren't opening or clicking, you got to ask yourself why, you know? Or then you can pull together a focus group and ask them. So it's a little less intimidating as one-on-one, and just go, you know, under the idea of, hey, I want to make the newsletter better and more useful to you. So you could do a focus group, you could do a survey, that kind of thing. But word of caution with MailChimp, like it worked at CPS, but it didn't work where I'm at now. So some email systems, I guess, for different school districts will block that stuff for some reason. Do they integrate with through Gmail? You guys have Gmail, Google through yours?
Yeah, we're switching to Gmail over the summer. Like, would it come from like my email address?
Yeah. So you say this is the sender email address, and then if they reply, it'll go to your Gmail. So that'll work out just fine.
Okay.
Cool thing for Gmail. So anybody that has Google apps at work for their school district, you should download Streak, which is free. And I know I've talked to, I don't know if it was in this mastermind or other ones, but Streak, this is like huge, huge ninja email tip. Not only can you track emails there individually, but you can delay when things get sent. So sometimes you might email me, and I might reply right away, but I don't want to start a conversation with somebody, right, through email, because it's not productive use of time. I'll put a link in there, Kyle. And you can schedule it. Hey, send it out in an hour, send it out in 6 hours, send it out in a week. And so I find that very effective because, for example, I don't know, maybe it's you have some type of event coming up and you already want to write the email. You could write it, send it, so when it happens in a week, everybody gets that email and you get it off your plate. You don't have to write it, you know, time sensitive wise. I use it for podcasting. Like, for example, when you're a guest on the show, you guys know that you get an email from me. Hey, thanks. You're a great guest. Here's a link if you want to share with your community. Well, guess what? I wrote that 2 months ago and then I clicked schedule and hit send. So that's one way to make things easy for you. And also you can snooze emails. So you got something from the superintendent, you need to take action on it, but it's not due for 3 weeks. Well, how do you not forget about it? One way is you can snooze it and say, send it back to me in 2 weeks and 5 days. And it'll magically make it disappear and send it back to you. So as we move on here, I'll get that link and put it in the chat box for you.
Cool. Thanks for that input. I just want to switch gears real briefly with the last few minutes. So I've been handling a lot of, you know, bullying issues, and I think this will be helpful to the listeners of the podcast as well. You know, and I'm making those phone calls to the victim of the kid who was bullied. So for example, you know, say Johnny calls, you know, Jimmy a jerk, and Johnny then punches Jimmy in the face. So I call Johnny's mom and say, you know, he punched another student in the face. You know, he's going to have detention, right? Well, what's going to happen to that kid who called him the name? You know, how have you guys been, or how have you effectively dealt with parents who are frustrated that their kid wound up making a bad choice because of what someone else did? So they immediately want to know, like, you know, the eye for the eye thing. And I'm finding that the parents aren't satisfied with my answer that, you know, I'm dealing with it. I'm calling the parents, but what kind of stuff have you done to educate parents about how this whole process should work?
I think it's part of how you prep that conversation. So when you make the phone call and you let them know what happened, what's the focus around, you know, is the focus. So if there was a situation there where I forget Johnny and Jimmy.
Yeah, I used that names.
So if Johnny pushed Jimmy and then Johnny got punched in the face, it's about what Johnny did and say, hey, look, I'm taking care of it with the other kid. I just want to let you know that I don't want him to be in this spot again. You know, so like I want to talk to him about how can he handle it better. So it's all about Johnny and his reaction, right? So I talk about him. And then I usually don't get parents because I don't even say, I don't even bring up the other kid really, other than, hey, just so you know, I am handling it. Like they need to hear confidence in my voice that I'm taking care of it. I am handling it. It's being dealt with discipline. That part's taken care of. But now I want to talk to Johnny about, you know, how do you not put yourself in that position again? Because I know he got upset and then it goes back to him. And the parent felt the confidence in my voice. So I usually don't get that. Well, what's happening to them? Go ahead, Colin.
No, I was just saying, I had a situation today exactly like this. And I think that there is a weird factor about timing that is very important. The sooner the parent is notified, the less likely this thing is to blow up. I don't know if other people found this, but people really appreciate that. It shows again that you're, like Dave said, you're responding quick. You're really on top of this. And that's very important. The other thing I like to tell parents a lot of the time is I like to remind them of the culture of our school and where we stand as a school. That kind of grounds, because I get requests, I don't know if anyone gets this, like the parents want to talk to the other parents about this. They'd like to know, they'd like to.
They want a round table discussion. They're going to figure it all out.
I don't think it's a round table discussion is what they're looking for. I don't always know, but they want to talk to the other parent. I don't know what they want, but I do think that making sure that we ground this in our culture really helps get the conversation in a different direction, because the parent really can't deny this is what we do as a school.
Yeah. Robert, did you tell me that you said that you told the parent, hey, just so you know, I gave them a detention or I called their mom. Do you tell them what you did discipline with the other kid?
No, I don't. So, but when I'm explaining the situation, I think it's important for that parent to know, well, first of all, the kid was honest. He said, you know, I did this to the other student, but you know, here's what had been going on for the past 2 weeks. And obviously I talked to him about, you need to let someone know, like you said, David, you know, going through that whole thing, making it a learning experience. But, you know, I think it's important for the parent to know that, you know, this was kind of provoked. I almost feel obligated that, you know, they should know that their child wasn't, you know, acting in cold blood here, that something's been going on and that made them feel this way. And that's where then right away, it's not, thanks for mediating that. We're going to talk to him about it. How are you accepting this bullying, right? Because it's always bullying. It's always
the
word bullying.
So the victim is the one that punched the other kid? The victim to the punch?
Yeah.
The victim of bullying. Okay. So I usually go into this. I say, I know he was in a bad spot and it's tough. A lot of kids, you know, they feel like they don't know what to do because then they don't want to turn into a snitch or a rat. And you got to remember, I deal with middle school kids too, so they're older. But I always just talk about it like this. I'm like, you know, let's say I'm driving a car and a kid or somebody yells at me, and then I decide to give the middle finger, and then he gets out and he kicks my car. Well, then I get out and I take a baseball bat and I smash his window. And so, like I'm explaining to, I do this with a kid too. Like, where does it end, right? So because the kid got picked on, he took it to the next level. Well, in the eyes of the law, you're going to get yourself arrested for doing that. So I want you to understand that I know you're in a bad spot. I'm going to handle that for you. And then again, this is where they feel the confidence. I'm going to take care of that piece. I promise you I'm all over it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to follow up with them. I'm going to have my counselor follow up with them too, get those resources in place. And then, so you have a toolbox that you go to. But then it's all about his reaction. So, you know, he reacted rather than responded. And that's going to get him in trouble every single time. So it's got to be based on his action and not, he's not a victim there. You know what I mean? He's not the victim. And I try not to make him the victim. And I don't use the word bullying either.
Oh,
yeah.
No, I'm actually going to, in my opening presentation to parents, I'm going to ask them to please stop using the word bullying.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, when you call me, I want to know, you know, my child was called this name. My child was punched. My child was, because the last principal, the whole school is plastered with bullying signs. Just plastered. And I can't wait to rip them down. I can't wait.
Bullying is a continuous, like, nagging target on somebody. And it does happen, but most of the time what people call bullying is not. It's just somebody being very mean, you know?
And I think, you know, sometimes you just got to swallow your pride a little bit because, you know, I felt like I handled it like we're discussing, and then it turned into the great Facebook smearing campaign. Someone printed out the Facebook post, you know, new principal, won't do anything for my son, you know, daughter, you know, just on and on and on and on and on. And sometimes you just got to swallow your pride and know you did the right thing. And I can't, you know, going back to social media, I can't change what they say. I can't.
Yeah.
Facebook, like, oh.
Just ignore it.
Have you done any education with your parents and students around the difference between conflict, harassment, and bullying? Because I've found in our school, when you sit down with them and go, okay, these are the definitions of these three things, which one do you feel it is? Most of the time, they come out with conflict. There's the occasional time where it comes out bullying, and most of those times it is bullying. But I think that conversation around, well, what is bullying? Because, I mean, the kid calling him a jerk, that's not bullying. That's the kid being a jerk. You know, like that conversation with parents around the language that they're using and educating them as well, I think is important.
Yeah, we just can't get them. We can't get them to show up to anything. Bottom line.
Well, it's not just through like getting them to show up, but even in your conversations with them and then with the kid when you're having them in, right? Like reiterating that at each time you're connecting with different parents, and slowly that'll percolate out through the community. Yeah, and ripping down those bullying signs too.
Yeah. Now you have your summer project. Hey, we're at time, so we're going to wrap it up. One thing that came out of a conversation on Thursday night group was just this idea of, you know, sort of setting 1 week goals. And we had that I don't even know what I call it, that tracker that I send out in email, you know? And so people have been finding it powerful, saying, hey, I want to check in on this next week. So I'll share first and then we'll just go around super fast. Think about one big thing that you want to accomplish by next week. And so for me, I'm speaking at the National Principals Conference. And when this podcast airs, it'll be the next week, right? And talking about productivity. I want to reach out to the people that put on the conference and see if there's a way that I can serve and either like do like a run walk before the conference, which might be fun and a way to connect with people. Or if I can start, like, I looked, I didn't see a private Facebook group or anything like that. So just getting people started, like, what are they excited about? What sessions, what questions do they have? And try to build some community around that. So that's one way I'm going to try to serve them, and that's my goal for the week. Kathy Jo, what do you think you might want to do in 1 week?
I just found out that a junior high opened up here in my hometown, and I want to prep, I think, hone my interview skills in case I get an interview for that job.
Nice.
For that particular position.
All right.
Some things I want to do. That's my goal.
Hone interview skills. That's good. Kyle?
Kathy, can you share the question that your husband gave you with everyone? Sorry,
yes.
It was awesome.
Okay. I was going to type it in the chat.
I mean, either way, I just think that I wrote it down.
Type it in the chat because then we can move on.
Okay.
What do you want to accomplish in 1 week?
Who, me? Oh, I want to get all my domain fours for all my teachers done, strategic plan done, and start on my SAVs, which is like the worst name for a massive pre-K report that I have to write.
SAVs. Yeah, it sounds like a disease.
SAVs, because I'm sad because I have to write my SAVs.
April, how about you?
I want to finish working on my leadership portfolio. I started it, and then I kind of taking a break, and I want to have it finished by next week.
Nice. That's a great goal. Chris in California.
My principal kind of tasked me and my other assistant principal colleagues with putting together some specific plans for our school for next year. So he gave me the PLC plan and the wellness and learning center plans. So I kind of want to spend a week looking through that and just getting my thoughts together regarding those two responsibilities.
Awesome. Thank you. David, how about you?
Tomorrow is our last day, so I've got like 6 things that have to be done at the end of the year. I want them to be done by next time we meet. So student handbook, staff handbook, we're redoing the bullying brochure, which I'm going to change the name of.
Yeah.
And finalizing some preparation of some kids in some, you know, different programming next year. So get all that out of the way so I can start to plan my, you know, 2 or 3 projects I want to work on over the summer. Because last year they dragged out. So just bang them out and then get rolling.
Gotcha. Kyle, how about you?
My main focus right now is hiring. And specifically, I would like to have hired my new AP by next week and have that in process, as well as we have SPED interviews scheduled for tomorrow. So our new SPED team person, I hope to have hired by the end of next week and everything organized so that I can finish hiring throughout the end of the next couple weeks. Hiring is so much fun.
Great. Sarah?
I have 2. One, I am getting the math room together. I got all the math manipulatives in the entire school. I gathered them all together and to find a central location so everybody has access to them, because teachers have no idea what's available in the building. So I found a space in the school and I'm organizing that. I'm going to organize it by domain and color code it. And so that's my goal for next week. But in addition, I'm going to start applying for AP positions because I've kind of been on a fence about that. Either I'm going to wait a year or apply, but I don't know. Every time I do realize tonight, every time I come to this group every week, I think, why am I not doing this? I need to apply for these positions. Dude. And then I get off and then I'm like, you know what? I'll just stick with my position for the year. But
no, do it.
So those are my 2 things for the week. Math room and start applying for jobs.
Robert, bully signs, what else?
Tear down the bully signs. I just want to really crush the award ceremonies. Just kind of, it's been the real first time a lot of these parents are meeting me, and just show them what I'm about and then keep, you know, a positive climate going and then roll into next school year. So just do a good job at these award ceremonies, I suppose.
Okay, cool. Canada, Chris.
I have a presentation, or not a presentation, a workshop I'm doing with a group of pre-service teachers. So I want to have that prepared, and I'm actually doing it on Friday, but for that to have gone well. And then the second thing is having the school schedule all built in our student information system.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Ran a little long, so I'll cut it short next time because I know y'all have things to do and you want to run to. But I really appreciate everybody's contribution tonight and love you all. And see you next Tuesday, same time.
See you, Daniel.
Bye-bye.
Better leaders, just a few more things before you take off. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show. This helps gives the show some social proof, aka iTunes juice, and encourages new people to listen to the show. If you are a social media junkie, share your biggest takeaway from the show, and feel free to tag me on Twitter or Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. Take the letters, switch them around, and create something interesting and new. That's how I got it. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Do you want to get a short email from me every Sunday where I share the best resources I have come across, links to interesting articles, books, blogs, and podcasts that have challenged my thinking, and a quote that's inspired me and will inspire you as well? If you'd like access to this resource, head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and join the newsletter at the top of the page. Over 1,000 school leaders subscribe, and I think you'll benefit from it too. In the newsletter, I also share when a new blog or podcast comes out, as well as different opportunities to work with me. Thanks again for listening to the show.